Well, Luke 2 is pretty familiar to you, isn't it? I hope it is. Sometimes we approach a familiar passage of Scripture and we just kind of skim over it, you know, because we're just used to reading it all the time. But let's look at it. Maybe nothing's going to be said tonight that's new necessarily. By the way, just a little side note, a friend of Dale's, I think it was a friend of Dale's, posted an article on Monday, I think it was, about the Tower of the Flock and his research and so forth that really went just dovetailed with the message Sunday morning. It was kind of neat to see that there. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. By the way, this I mentioned to you Sunday morning, there are almost too many to count the number of fulfillments of prophecy that are found in this chapter. It is just enormous. But verse 23, as is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. That may seem like an unusual statement, but remember there was no permanent dwelling of the Holy Ghost yet. So this was an unusual thing for them. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Imagine a Jew standing in the temple making that declaration. And the glory of the people of Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Father, we pray as we look at the Christmas story this evening that you will bless, that you'll speak to our hearts in a variety of ways. There's too much, Lord, to cover in depth here, but may we be challenged by it. And we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Entitled the message, The Christmas Story. My son-in-laws were messing with me today and said, "So what's your title?" And I told them. They said, "Wow, that's real creative, you know. I'm that creative guy, you know." There's a number of things in this text, as I've already mentioned to you, just tons of them that are way too many to mention. But let me just, as an overview of the chapter before we get into specifics, think about this aspect of it. As Jesus gets deeper and deeper into his ministry, what is one of the things that the people continuously say to him? It is, "Show us a sign and we'll believe you." Do you know how many times in this chapter alone he says he's going to show them a sign? Let alone the fact that there are multiple other things that doesn't say it's a sign, but it was a sign. There were all kinds of stuff in this chapter. If you're wondering about the gospel, what its purpose was, that's pretty clear here too, isn't it? Throughout this text, it is very clear that our Lord came to die. Now, I want you to, for a moment, as we last Wednesday night spent some time on just Mary and Joseph and what it would have been like to be in their position. And we've touched on some of this chapter, but think about what they were dealing with in these days. We're about a year, less than a year now, from the time that Mary first was appeared to, and then she had her 9 months of pregnancy, and now this is days later, the law being fulfilled, and now the child is named, and now he's coming to fulfill all the law. All these things are taking place, and all that's happened in Mary and Joseph's life have been incredible. And all of these prophecies about Jesus, who he was, what he was going to fulfill, what he was going to be to them. This is really a staggering story. We concentrate on the first part of the text of Scripture, but the last part would have been incredibly astounding to those parents and the people that were there. What was taking place in the temple as Jesus arrives on the scene, and this, if you will, spectacle happens. Two different well-respected people proclaim who he really is and what he's really there to do. But let's go back to the beginning of the story and look at, first off tonight, just quickly, the providence of God. The providence of God. The Bible opens with pretty simple text of Scripture, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree. It's time for you to be taxed, and by the way, you've got to go back to your hometown to be taxed. Now, this was pretty inconvenient, wasn't it? I mean, it's pretty inconvenient for someone that is great with child to travel, period. But back in those days, that would have been really inconvenient. we don't know exactly how she traveled. Anyway, would have probably been uncomfortable. Walking, riding a donkey, riding a camel, whatever. It would have not been fun for a woman that was great with child. This was an inconvenience. Lord, why now? I mean, you're the one who said that this was supposed to be your child and you want us to travel. And by the way, it was not been an easy trip. Robbers and all kinds of people, the environment around there. And not only that, not this whole time, now they've got to pay this taxes. And of course, you know, Jewish people really loved Rome and the taxes they had to pay anyway. But it was the providence of God that was bringing them to this location. We sometimes miss the fact that God is orchestrating our path to put us exactly where we need to be. From a human standpoint, what looked like an incredible inconvenience to Mary and Joseph was a fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem because that's where God said he would be born. Did you understand the theological implications if she had been at home and the baby had been born there? That means he had not been born in Bethlehem, which makes the Bible a liar, and now we got all kinds of complications, right? I think there's an important thing for us to understand tonight. What seems an inconvenience to us in God's plan is perfectly working it out. We think, God, what are you doing? Why this? Why now? Why at this time? Couldn't you have this since this happened some other time? Or couldn't you? But it was all working because God had a specific plan in mind. And that needed to be fulfilled. And he has the same thing for you. And sometimes we get frustrated by, boy, Lord, you've put me right in this place and it's really inconvenient right now. Anybody ever been inconvenienced? You know, it's like, really? I mean, you know, I love it when someone says, well, today was not a convenient day to have a flat tire. Is there a convenient day to have one? I mean, is there a time when you think, this would be a really good day to have a flat tire? So, Lord, go ahead. It's fine if you want to do it today. There's not many days like that, right? But the providence of God. But number two, we see the promises of God. In verse 4, Joseph went into Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Humanly speaking, why did he go there? Because he's of the house and lineage of David. But why did he go there? Because Micah 5:2 said that from out of thee, Bethlehem Ephratah, will come Jesus. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. God keeps his promises. Always has, always will. Isn't that a wonderful truth? I mean, that is something that not only can we rest on, but you do. You rest on it all the time. If you're in this room tonight and you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, rose again, and is planning to take you to heaven, you're staking your entire eternal existence on the fact that he will keep his word. That's a powerful truth for us. Let's not forget it. The promises of God. But number three, let's look at the problems of Joseph. This was not easy for him, was it? He's to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. I mean, you know, the taxing money was probably not easy for him to pay. He has to take her with him, again, on this journey. Again, not an easy thing. Hopefully, maybe the census took place before the baby was born, or he had to pay more taxes, right? So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, and she should be delivered. I mean, from a pure human standpoint, don't you think that probably somewhere in there, Joseph would have thought, no. This is not real convenient. I mean, this is not supposed to happen this way. The doctor's back at home. We got our house, all that. No, we didn't even bring the baby stuff with. I don't know what all he was thinking, okay? I'm not trying to be frivolous and read into Scripture. I'm just saying he had some issues on his hands. And not only that, from his standpoint, again, we're talking purely human here, this was not the ideal location for a baby to be born. Now, we know from Sunday morning study, because y'all listened so well Sunday morning, right, that it was the perfect location for him to be born. But from Joseph didn't have all that information in front of him. And so for him, he's dealing with all this. And I think there's a simple principle for us. I love the song, Bow the Knee. And in it, it makes this statement. When I don't understand the purpose of his plan, bow the knee. Lord, I don't know what you're doing. You could have just as well held off her having this baby until we got back home. And I mean, there's all this stuff going on from Joseph's standpoint. But Lord, I'm going to, whatever you want. This is your plan. That is so much easier said than done, isn't it? Theology is much easier talked about than it is lived. When we say, okay, Lord, I'm okay trusting this plan, whatever you want. Well, we notice number four, the proclamation of God. I'm not going to spend time here. We spent a lot of time here Sunday morning. But God proclaims the birth of Jesus Christ. God wants his message proclaimed, doesn't he? I mean, he tells us that that's the reason he's left us here. That's the reason he left his disciples here. The last thing he said to them is, hey, you guys, look, you shall be witnesses unto me. I want you to spread the gospel to the world. That's the point of leaving you here. Make disciples. And from this very beginning, God wanted the message out. It's not like he wanted it hid somewhere. It's not like he wants it cloaked somewhere. He wants the message proclaimed. That's exactly what we should be doing. But we see also, lastly here tonight, the proof of others. I love how God involves so many other people in this process. people that I believe were significant in their proclamations. We talked about the shepherds and how they were uniquely qualified as Passover lambs and finding the babe in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. All those things were significant. And when those shepherds noised that abroad, they were certified to do so, if you will. Their message would have been powerful. Mary knew the truth, didn't she? She had had that conversation with the angel. The Bible says that she pondered these things in her heart. As she gets to experience every step of the way of what's happening, as God unfolds his plan. And then we see Simon in this passage of Scripture, a man who God said, "You're not going to die until you see Messiah." That would have been pretty powerful. And I love his truth here when he says, "Okay, Lord, I can die now. He's here. This is what you promised me. It's okay, you know." Imagine if you're a new mom. You walk into the temple to offer these things that you're supposed to for the male, the first male there and so forth. And all of a sudden this guy comes up, takes your baby out of your arms and starts talking like this. That would have been unusual. Some moms don't like babies to be touched at all. Better not mess with that baby. You know, it's like. He says, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation." Well, wait a minute. He's just a baby. He's your salvation. He gets done, and Anna shows up. She's an older lady. I love how the Bible says that, right? She was of great age. She makes a proclamation. Wow, giving thanks for the redemption of Israel and Jerusalem. Wow. So each one of these people are adding to this story of who Jesus the Messiah was. Adding to the Christmas story. The fact that he was coming. Not just as a babe, he was coming to die on the cross of Calvary. Redemption is mentioned here, a light to the Gentiles, salvation. All those things are mentioned in this text of Scripture. From the very beginning, it was pictured that he was born to die. And that's why I think it's appropriate for us on this, our Christmas service, to celebrate communion. We're never supposed to forget who he is and what he came to do. I love this time of year. I love the fact that we talk about he's born and we see scenes of him in a manger. Don't you love the fights over that stuff, you know? I love the fact that atheists are fighting a manger scene. Well, if God doesn't exist, what does the manger scene mean to you? What does it matter? It's like, that's no big deal. But I mean, you can't hate something that doesn't exist. How many of you hate unicorns? That's because they don't exist. Hello? I'm not on a campaign on them, right? I mean, it's crazy how these people are doing that. But as we look at this text, do you trust God when things seem rough? I mean, when it seems like, Lord, do you know what you're doing here? I mean, really, Lord, the timing, this timing, is it? Do you believe God when things seem impossible? Just impossible. Do you tell others what you've experienced? These people did. They broadcast what God was doing. If the Pharisees really wanted a sign, they had plenty of them. All they had to do was go back and look at the birth of this Christ child. I mean, they were supposed to be bright men, right? They could have just done a little bit of research and found much of this information. Do you think the priests that were surrounding this, if these were shepherd priests, do you think that they weren't talking about it? The Bible tells us they talked about it. Do you think that there were no Pharisees in the temple that would have heard the proclamations of Simeon and Anna? No, they would have heard them. There were multiple men there. But they didn't want to listen to it. May we tell other people. May we declare what Jesus Christ has done for us. How powerful is that? So as we gather, whatever your traditions are, Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, as we gather and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, let us not forget that he didn't just come as a babe in a manger. There was a purpose to die on the cross of Calvary, to resurrect so that the light could come to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. Father, help us to never forget the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary. With that babe born in a manger, that, Lord, there's so much about it we don't understand, how you, Creator God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Oh, may we not forget that. And Lord, may we trust you. When it doesn't make sense at all, may we just trust you. May we proclaim your word. May we proclaim that you are Messiah indeed. We'll thank you for it.